Welcome to Venturi's Voice. I'm Andy Davis. Venturi's Voice brings together thought leaders from a variety of industries who are taking the most innovative approaches to leadership and staffing. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors sharing their secrets on leadership, recruiting, onboarding, engagement, and motivating, as well as stories on life lessons they've learned along the way. And it's free. If you're the head of a major corporation leading a team of hundreds or about to take on your first leadership role, this podcast is for you. This show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best leader you can be. Stay up to date with the latest shows by subscribing on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as signing up to the newsletter at venturi-group.com, where you can find the latest IT jobs, talent, and blogs on all things leadership, staffing, and development. I'd love to hear from you, so drop me a line anytime by email at andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback or requests are always welcome. Enjoy the show.
Today's guest is Matthew Davis, HR Director at Addison Lee. So I always like to highlight, you know, the importance of HR, and I have done throughout the podcast series. And, you know, I think it might actually be quite good to, you know, kind of dive into your world and just talk about, like, the amount of complexities and things that you're, you know, constantly working on and are conscious of, you know, on a daily and weekly basis.
Yeah, no, I'm very happy to do that. I'd be more than happy. I can talk for Wales. So we can go down various rabbit holes if you want to. Equally, if you want to sort of spend some time looking at one or two particular subjects in detail, then I'm very happy to be guided by you, Andy.
So, I mean, for me, the first and foremost is like when you would say to someone, right, what is it? What are your kind of activities, I suppose? What are your main activities? What are your main responsibilities? What are the kind of KPIs, if you like, that you're kind of motivated and driven towards? What would some of those key kind of indicators be for, you know, your role?
I don't know that it's as simple as saying you are a list of KPIs, and as long as I tick against those KPIs, I'll do a great job. Clearly, in terms of the job that I've got a series of objectives that I need to meet as both as a member of the executive team here at Addison Lee, but also as a functional head of the human resources department, and then equally as an employee of a business that's going through tremendous growth and change. Some of those things are very easily articulated as a metric. So, in terms of how we go about doing recruitment, for example, the recruitment team has got a target in terms of the balance between direct and indirect hiring. We manage our sickness absence rates because we understand the impact that high sickness has on the business. We have a target around attrition because we want to build an organization that people stay with and the talent gets retained in the organization. So we've got some very simplistic metrics. What really drives me, though, is much more around what people often refer to as the softer skill stuff that I like to refer to as the real skill stuff, which is I want to build an environment where people can do the best work that they can do. And a lot of that is about coaching, advising, sometimes provoking and cajoling, sometimes debating and arguing, but it's about trying to create an environment where when people make an active choice to come to an employer like Addison Lee, that they do it knowing that the support that they get in the organization will enable them to do a great job, both for themselves in terms of what they want to achieve from the work that they're doing, but ultimately to deliver brilliant service to the customers who trust us every day to take them from position A to position B, or with their parcels from position A to position B. And that's much harder to sort of put into a KPI, but it is the sort of stuff that gets me out of bed in the morning. At a very philosophical level, part of the job that I have to do, I believe, is change people's lives, which is when they choose to come and work here, their life will change. And it might not be at a fundamental life-changing way, but the work, the day-by-day, week-by-week, month-by-month, year-by-year work experience that my team creates the conditions for the organization to have will change their lives. It will help them pay bills, mortgages, put their kids through school, go on holidays, go to the pub on a Friday night, go and see a live music, whatever it might be. But equally, they can get a level of gratification and meaning from having done a brilliant job, because the feedback that comes from our customers who come back day after day, week after week, month after month, has a real resonance for them. And so much of what we do and what I try and do here isn't about ticking the box of a KPI. Of course I do that. It's much more about trying to get as broad and as deep an understanding about what the organization is about, why we're trying to do what we're trying to do, and how people can make a genuine and meaningful contribution for the organization to achieve that, then that's really what motivates me. That's what I'm truly passionate about, and that's what I hope that both I and the 17 other people that I lead in the function are get up on a Monday morning and come into work and be excited about it.
And is there kind of, it seems like there is an element of kind of creativity involved with this, you know, when you look at the projects and the programs that you would be building. Is there kind of that freedom to a certain extent, obviously, to have that kind of creative input? And, I suppose that's always a nice element to a role.
Yeah, I mean, most certainly. There's creativity in its purest sense. There's creativity that comes from the fact that, in the nicest possible way, I don't have the luxury to throw money at a problem. So the way that we go about addressing challenges or seeking to bring talent to the organization may not be the same way that a large financial services organization might go about it. So the creativity comes from reusing of approaches to the marketplace. The creativity comes from how we leverage relationships that we may have both internally and externally. The creativity comes from how we think both strategically and operationally in tandem, so that we can drive the right kind of outcome for the business, both in terms of making the business hum and thrive in the immediate future, but also hum and thrive in the long-term future. So, much of this is due to kind of the environment that we try and build. Part of it is undoubtedly down to the lack of money that we've got in the nicest possible way. Part of it is around people working with people and working practically and with a delivery focus, so that we can drive the organization forward and we build a very sustainable and appreciated momentum.
It's interesting that I kind of look at HR and the things that you just spoken about, and I think there's a massive element of talent involved with being a high level in HR. I think that's a given, and I think that I think that's probably true for most professions. Not everyone's going to get to that level simply because of talent, and that's just what it is. But I also think that HR seems to me, and obviously correct me if I'm wrong, but there's so much kind of scenario-based circumstances and situations that you come across that it almost seems like you couldn't really train well enough to understand how to deal with different situations. Like, I think experience is always valuable, but it's almost necessary to me when I look at HR. That's certainly the take that I get from it. Maybe it's different, but
I mean, HR is obsessed with talking about talent. It's the kind of it's one of the big watchwords. If you're an HR practitioner, at some point, someone will invite you to a conference on talent or to a podcast on talent. I think there are a number of myths around talent. I mean, we often talk in organizations around we need to have a talent pool for people who aren't talented. I come from a really quite old-fashioned, I suppose, in many ways, perspective, which is I do genuinely believe that everyone's got talent. It's how you harness that talent and how you then build conditions where people can optimize that talent, whatever that talent might be. What often seems to happen in the HR world is you get obsessed when you talk about talent as a replacement word for exceptional. Sometimes, though, I think that we overlook some of the basics about what's actually essential in an organization. And when you're in the space of looking for something more or something that is slightly eccentric or something that is slightly different, I do think that we can often overlook what's under our noses. And I've been in this role now for 6 months, and rather than go in with a kind of a mindset that, well, everyone's terrible or they're just average and I should be looking for talent externally, I've focused really long and hard on developing a little bit more and growing the people who already work alongside me, because my view is that none of my colleagues woke up on a Monday morning and go, well, today I'm going to do my third best work. I think people genuinely want to go to work and give of their best. And oftentimes the reason they don't give of their best is that they may not be provided with the coaching or the development to be able to give of their best. And I think if we were in a place where we were more ambitious about the people that we already had working alongside us and about their potential, rather than that worked assumption of external good, internal bad that can sometimes plague HR departments, then I think we would do a whole lot better.
I look at different individuals, different organizations. It's certainly not a one size fits all, but you look at someone for an example who might be like massively, you know, ambitious, and they might be in an organization where they're not. That we just have to accept that that's out there, right? There is organizations out there that are operating at a level and they've had accounts or whatever for years and years, and that's it. So if you go into an organization like that, you're not going to be stimulated in that particular environment. But obviously, I think that it's kind of the dumb thing to say that, yeah, we're all about innovation. We want, you know, super motivated people, this and that. And then they go there and they hinder them. I'm obviously not 100% not pointing any fingers, but I'm just saying, making that kind of exaggerated case, because is there a responsibility from a HR perspective, you know, from a people's perspective, to actually understand what the company is really about and be honest with it, and not be kind of fooled into, you know, thinking that it's something that it's not, or trying to make it into something that it's not? You have to use what you have. And then when you look at like an onboarding process, the individual has to kind of fit, and there might be some people who are too ambitious for that particular organization, and you have to be okay in saying that it might not be for you, you know, even though you'd love someone like that to join the organization. Is it difficult, I suppose, to gauge and be honest with yourself sometimes from a HR perspective about what the organization really is and what it's limited to? And I suppose, how do you go about making sure that you have that kind of even, balanced perspective on things?
I hear that point, and I agree with it to a significant degree. The gap between sort of the romance of the recruitment process and the reality of the day job is something that HR practitioners should try and close as quickly as possible. I mean, I genuinely think that if you go on a sales pitch to someone to talk about an organization that you think you have but you don't really have, then you're not only deluding the candidate, you're deluding yourself. So there needs to be an honesty and a transparency about what the working environment is actually like, as opposed to what you might like the organization to be like. Now, part of that, I think, can be used to your advantage, particularly in recruiting terms. Part of it, presumably, is that You want to attract people who can be additive to the organization, who perhaps have got skill sets and experience and personality that currently doesn't exist in the organization, that you believe will be additive to your organization and to be able to drive your organization forward for the benefit of the organization and its customers. And that, I think, is really positive. It's a really poor candidate experience where you are being sold that the organization is wonderful, calm under pressure, everybody likes one another, when the reverse may well be the case. It is much better, I think, to have those honesty conversations, because when people are making choices about moving jobs, they are very, very serious inflection points for people, because they have massive impacts on their careers. They have massive impacts in terms of how they get to work in the morning, their relationships with their friends and families, how they feel about themselves and their own self-worth. If you are going into a recruitment process whereby you are seeking solely to hoodwink someone into thinking it is something that it isn't, then, you know, more fool you, because A, recruitment is incredibly expensive. B, you'll end up getting the bad restaurant review scenario where someone will come in, realize it's not for them, realize that the kind of tissue of lies that you told them is actually, you know, crumbling before their eyes. And C, it just doesn't do yourself any good in terms of the effort you're putting in. It is much better, to my mind, to spending time to say to someone, actually, this organization requires you to have a high level of resilience. It requires you to have a high level of patience, because sometimes decision making doesn't go in the way that we would ideally like it to go. And oftentimes it isn't because people are setting out to put barriers in the way of making progress. Sometimes is that organizations are at the stage of organizational maturity where they simply don't have policies and processes and governance in place. They don't have talent management structures. They don't have budgets that are commensurate with what your expectation might be as a superstar from another organization. It's much better to have that open and honest conversation about what the job actually entails, what the expectations that will be set for you actually are, and what success truly looks like, rather than giving the candidates something you think they want to hear. That, I think, is a much better place to be in terms of you as an employer, because if you decide, actually, this isn't the right organization for me, you can then go and make a much better and informed choice, and that's good for everybody. Because the last thing that an employer should be doing is bringing someone on board who's not going to be right for the organization.
So I suppose with that being said, do you think that it's kind of necessary to a certain extent, or when you talk about bringing on HR people, that's even more paramount in that situation, because you have to essentially champion the organization that you're working for. It has to be like a really good fit, or almost much more so than any other role. Surely if you're in HR, you have to kind of really believe in their mission and be 100% behind it. Is that, do you think that it does carry more weight for HR people?
I mean, I genuinely believe in what my organization's trying to do. I think we've got a brilliant set of staff, got some fantastic drivers. We provide a brilliant set of products and services. And we want to grow that and take that into new and uncharted territories. That's exciting. That pace of change, though, is not going to be for everybody. And that's fine. But equally, so part of my job is to, when I'm recruiting for people to join this team, is to help them understand about not just about the job that I'm asking them to do in and of itself, although that's critically important, so the technical skills and experience that they need to be successful in that job, but I want them to be as excited that I am about how them being successful in their job will help the broader organization be successful in terms of its overall goals. And if I can marry those two things off, then that's fantastic.
Makes perfect sense, mate. If you were, I suppose, finishing thoughts as well, you know, I'd just be very curious about this one. But if you were to have a word with sort of 17, 18-year-old you, just about to start off his career, what kind of, you know, short elevator pitch style advice would you try and give him?
Oh, the 18-year-old me was a terrible, horrible, arrogant, snotty-nosed teenager. I think the advice that I would give is the advice that my father gave me, which at one level was very simple and very obvious. At another level, it had a deep resonance for me, which was you only get one go in life, and you should make it the best one that you can. And that's really simple to say. Often it's very difficult to put into practice because life will throw lots of challenges at people. One of the ways I've tried to adopt that advice is to say yes to lots of opportunities. It's to not be afraid of making mistakes. It's the learning from the mistakes that is part of that process of kind of growth and discovery that I think is at the heart of your working life experience. I've also, the other piece of advice I would give is find great people. So in terms of, you know, sometimes in HR, the job is not all day long sexy and exciting and challenging and intellectually stimulating. Sometimes it's dull, boring, and routine. What lifts it out of being dull, boring, and routine are the people that you work with. And if you are curious about finding great people, then invariably great opportunities and great experiences follow. The worst place to get to is to pick a job because the job looks perfect, but the people are awful or don't sit well with your value set. And so I would probably encourage the 18-year-old me to carry on making sure that you find amazing people to be inspired by and to work with and to work for, because that will see you well in terms of when you have to be in the position where people are looking to you to inspire them, to lead them, and to motivate them.
I don't know about 18-year-old me, but I think I'm taking that advice on board now. So so thanks for that, Matt. We'll leave it there, mate. I know you've got a lot to get to, but I just wanted to thank you so much for taking the time. I really enjoyed the chat.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. Please make sure you subscribe at iTunes or SoundCloud, or check out the website, venturi-group.com, and keep up to date with the latest IT jobs, talent, news, and podcasts. Or drop me a line. It's andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback, topics, or guest suggestions are always welcome. And thanks again for listening to the show. See you next time.